scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Let's resume the bitch fest about this. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. The final, Dodgers 3, Red Sox 2, ends on Max Muncy's walk-off solo home run in the 18th inning. 7 hours, 20 minutes. Chris and I were just trying to discuss during Joe Murray's top of the hour headlines, where could you go? Like, where could you travel to in 7 hours and 20 minutes? Well, you could fly to L.A. and then get to your hotel, right? It takes about 6 and change. You land at LAX, yeah. You grab your bags, and then you could go get settled at your hotel.
It's a little, you know, that trip from LAX to the hotel is, especially if you're in WeHo, it's a little perilous, speaking from experience.
Oh, well, I only stay in WeHo, Daddy. That's West Hollywood. Either way, this was grueling, this, and tough, too, because, and there's a lot of second-guessing, especially when it comes to Alex Cora. He managed this thing like it was the 7th game of the World Series, let alone Game 3. And even before your first pitch, I think you had a questionable decision in that Andrew Benintendi's not in this game. Understandable. I get it. From a defensive standpoint, you're putting J.D. Martinez in left field. He has this ankle issue, so there's a lot of ground there at Chavez Ravine. So from a defensive standpoint, fine. Left to right, it's J.D., and then it's Jackie Bradley Jr., and then it's Mookie Betts. Fine. But you knew that they were going to miss Benintendi's bat in that game. They do. He gets one token at bat.
Yeah, but Jackie's the whole reason it even went into...
But the second guess to me, Chris, is considering, and I went on a whole, and I'll do it again, a whole rant about Mookie Betts and how useless he's been offensively in this postseason and the prior ones. It just makes more sense to me now, especially with Kinsler making that terrible error. Betts probably should have played second base.
Okay.
So that you have Benintendi in the outfield, so you have his bat in the game, so you get more than one at-bat. Yes, it's easy for me to do now and second-guess that, but that's what we do here in sports radio, and that's what we do as fans.
I mean, Brock Holt played, I thought, pretty well in that game. But you know, I think the second guess is at some point in that game, to get Benintendi multiple at-bats, would you have put Mookie Betts at second instead of Kinsler? And I think that's legit. Look, I agree with you in terms of I want to see Mookie Betts at second base. I do. I'm into it. I thought that was something that they could do. I liked it. I don't think it's the reason they lost the game, though. I don't. And I understand what you're saying. To me, the whole thing with Benintendi, and the rules are the rules, and everybody knew the rules before the game, but that whole game, to me, I looked at it, and someone said on Twitter, so I want to give them credit for it, they were saying that my point basically is, you know, the defense rested its case for the DH. And that game to me was like, the smoking gun for why you can't have two sets of rules.
Yeah, and then of course there's Ian Kinsler, who is, wearing a scarlet letter this morning, and I get it. He could have put the Red Sox up 3-0 in this World Series with a clean throw to first base in the 13th inning. He doesn't do that. Errant throw allows the Dodgers to tie the game at 2. And at that point, too, if you had been paying attention, you're like, oh, this thing's going to end at like 5 in the morning. Great. So Ian Kinsler has a target on his back this morning. We understand that. That's something you can be mad about. Jackie Bradley Jr., though, here's a positive. He continues to be the second coming of Reggie Jackson. You mentioned his home run.
Huge.
It's enormous. And the same for Nathan Eovaldi, who was excellent in this game. I was bitching about Betts, I think rightfully so. He, along with Xander Bogaerts, brutal in this game. Top 4 spots in the Red Sox batting order, 0-for-28. And while I'm tired and cranky and mad about this game, let me bitch about something else that had nothing to do with it, but
yes,
that's just now started to bother me.
Okay.
Wear the right uniforms.
Oh, yes, I agree with you. I was saying this last night. What is this? This is not, you know, March against the Twins in Fort Myers. What is the deal with that?
This wasn't bothering me. It wasn't. I had no issues because we had taken some calls, and even Felger bitched about it too. Like the red uniforms on the Friday during the playoffs. Like, what are you doing? This isn't the regular season. Stop it. Wasn't bothering me. Now that they lost in the excruciating way that they lost, they wear those the warm-up uniforms on a Friday night on the road. Wear the grays. Oh, God, that made me so mad last night. The longer it went, again, almost 8 hours. Let's just round it off. 7 hours, 20 minutes. I'm rounding to 8. I hated seeing those blue uniforms. Wear the right ones. Wear the gray ones.
It would have been a nice contrast between that and the Dodger whites and the blues. Oh, that pissed me off last night. I hate that they do that. Stop it. I get that, you know, I'm all for capitalism. Sell all your extra crap, but don't wear it during the playoffs. The blue uniforms last night. F off with that. All right, let's hear from you. You got a lot to get off your chest. 617-779-0985. I'm glad to know I'm not
No, no, I was. That was annoying me too. Yeah.
Joe Murray was not nodding along over there as well.
Aggravating.
Stupid. Okay, let's start off with John in Georgetown. What do you make of last night's loss? Go ahead, John.
Hey, I want to say good morning, but I guess it's afternoon now. Who would have thought at this point? Now I want to make a one quick point about the offense, and I want to talk about kind of where to put everybody if possible. Last night, Xander Bogaerts became the first player in World Series history to go 0-for-7, followed immediately by Mookie Betts, with the record broken the next at-bat by Xander Bogaerts, who went 0-for-8 last night.
Yep.
At some point, we have to recognize that the top two players, that the MVP is off right now, that he's lost his bat, it's on the milk carton somewhere, we got to figure out what to do. Why not put JD at first base? I have not heard anybody talk about that. If Christian Vasquez can play first base, why can't JD Martinez?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I don't know what the answer to that is, honestly. It's been brought up sort of before. It just seems like he hasn't worked there for the Red Sox, and it just seems like it's not an option for them. You know, first base is normally when I'm going to go back some. If Carlos Quintana could play first base.
If David Ortiz could do it,
yeah,
JD Martinez.
You know, you feel
it.
Like JD Martinez can do it. However, you still have to take some reps there. You still have to, you know, take ground balls there. You can't just get to the World Series, have the guy have no experience there during the year and sort of throw him in there. Now, Vasquez, I think, has taken ground balls there before. I know he never played there in a game. I just don't think you can just sort of willy-nilly sort of make it up. It's something they would have had to have planned for, and it just seems like they never planned for the idea of using this guy at first base.
Yeah, so now this is now another good second guess, and I heard Adam Jones bitching about this the other night on his show. Imagine that, Jones bitching about something. But it's a good second guess now. When you knew that you had the division wrapped up and you're playing essentially useless games towards the end of the season in National League parks, like in Atlanta, try it. Try it then. Did you not think you were going to go deep in the postseason based on the last couple of postseasons and what happened there? I know, look, I thought failure was coming, but I'm an a-hole like that. You knew what you had. You knew how good this team was. Try JD Martinez at first base in a game against the Braves late in the season that really doesn't matter that much. But now they didn't, and you reap what you sow there. For more on this, let's go to Ralphie in the car. Ralphie! You're next. You're on Gaspar
Murray.
What's
up, guys?
Hi.
Hey.
What's up, guys? Great show, man. Love your show all Saturday, man. Listen, I don't understand why JD doesn't play first. Christian Vasquez, I understand that. I don't know who they subbed for. I believe what's the other catcher, San De Leon, he was pinch hitting for somebody. But why can't you just take Christian Vasquez out and keep a normal first baseman? I really feel like maybe Steve Spears would have dove for that ball. He would have let it pass him. But that's beyond the fact. Why can't JD play first? He seems athletic enough, and I feel like, you know, you need Benintendi. He's the best hitter right now, one of your best hitters in the playoffs, and you just need that bat. You can't disrupt your 1, 2, and 3 hitters. You can't hit Moreland third and then have Holt backing up JD. It was evident at the end of the game that every time a critical time came up, you had these crap back hitters, and then they were able to work around it. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah, you're 100% right about that. Again, they scored 2 runs in that 18-inning marathon game last night. Your top 2 hitters, 0-for-15. That's your game. You want to be mad about Kinsler? Fine, have at it. Look, there's a lot of anger to go around with this game last night. For me, my deep reservoir of anger, oh, believe me, it's deep. I'm pointing it towards those guys. And specifically Mookie Betts, because Mookie Betts I feel let down by, because this is the guy that's going to be the MVP of the league this year, or the American League this year. He's the MVP, and rightfully so. The numbers back that up. He stinks in the postseason. I'm going to steal this from Twitter, because a lot of people that agree with me have been saying it. You know who he is. This one's going to hurt people, so brace yourselves for it. He's baseball Peyton Manning is who he is.
Oh,
right now.
It's a little early. It's a little early for that.
Well, yeah, because Peyton actually won a championship, actually 2, even though he's a sidecar with that 2015 Denver Broncos defense. It's not good right now for Mookie Betts. And it's not, this isn't a hot take, Felger's lapdog. Yay, hole. You've been corrupted by those two, Felger and Mez. Oh, no. Don't let facts get in the way, people. Because, again, he's going to be the 2018 American League MVP. Rightfully so. Leads the majors in slugging. .640 Batting average. .346 Second in extra base hits. .84 32 home runs. 32 home runs. Wow, that's a lot of home runs for a guy that size. Of Mookie Betts stole 30 bases. All those numbers, yes, he should be the American League MVP. Postseason numbers? Now, don't let facts get in the way, people that want to defend Mookie Betts. I get it. Megawatt smile. Great bowler. Can solve a Rubik's Cube in under 2 minutes.
The food to the homeless is big.
Food to the homeless, huge, too. Much better human being than I will ever be. I will give, you know, high five to Mookie there. A great thing that he did after game two. Postseason numbers, though?
12 for 54. 311 on base percentage. 296 slugging percentage. 608 OPS. 4 doubles. 3 measly RBI. In 12 games, that's a big sample size for the postseason.
And last night was the rock bottom, especially in the 13th inning. Bases loaded. Let's get out of this game. Work the pitcher a little bit. Nope. First pitch, pop up, and that's it. Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, he had a brutal game. I don't disagree with you on, I mean, he's not the same guy in the postseason. I'm not just talking about this postseason. You go back over 3 postseasons, 90 at-bats, no home runs. He has not shown the same power. I will say this, though, in fairness to Mookie in this series, you know, the last game he played before this one, he was 3-for-4 with the double. So it's not like he's killed him in the series. You know, he killed him last night. There's no question about that. But it's not like he's killed him in the series so far. What you hope is that at some point he can break through here. I just feel like he needs that first postseason home run, and the weight will be lifted, because I feel like that's really a big weight that's on him. The no home runs in the postseason through 3 postseasons for a guy who's a 30-30 guy is glaring.
So this is one of the things where I say this team, and I, by the way, let me just say, even though I'm coming off as a little too negative because I'm pointing out, you know, facts about Mookie Betts in the postseason, I still think the gentleman sweep is on the table. I still think the Red Sox are winning the World Series, because up is down, down is up. Jackie Bradley.
So you think they're going to win tonight?
Yeah.
Well, the gentleman sweep.
Yeah, no, I know they have to win tonight.
Yeah, the gentleman sweep isn't on the table. It can't be on the table unless you think they're going to win tonight.
I don't feel great about it. But I'm dug in. And there's another reason why I feel they win tonight and have the gentleman sweep, because these stupid teams that they keep playing in this postseason just can't help themselves when it comes to petty nonsense. I'll explain further, because something just was brought to my attention that the Dodgers did on social media. These stupid teams can't help themselves. Aaron Judge, like he's Say Anything, walking down the hallway with the speaker blaring New York, New York in the ALDS.
Oh, yeah.
ALCS. Yeah. You have Numbnuts there putting up the Instagram story. Bregman.
Yeah, Alex Bregman.
You know, mocking Nathan Eovaldi and hitting home runs off him back to back to back when he was with Tampa. Can't help himself there. The Dodgers just did it too. These idiots can't help themselves. And it's karma. I do believe in sports karma. So they're going to get bit in the ass with this. So I'll explain what I'm talking about after this and continue to take your calls as we bitch about this game. Last night, Red Sox fall 3-2 to the Dodgers. 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking for a hit to tie it. Muncy at second, the 1-1. That's up the middle. It's backhanded. Throw to first is wide. This game is tied. Kinsler threw it wide. It's 2-2.
Feels terrible. Feel terrible for Nate. I feel like I let the team down right there. And, you know, next opportunity, try to seize it.
It's not crushing at all. I just talked to them. I told them how proud I am. You know, the effort was amazing. That was a great baseball game. I don't know, 7 hours, whatever it was, you know. Probably people back home are waking up right now to the end. It's probably one of the best, if not the best game I've ever been part of.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub. That's the Ian Kinsler play in the 13th. Yuck. So something to feel positive about, though. It's funny to me to now. That's the second time we've played that. Man, you can understand why guys want to run through a wall for Alex Cora. For him to still sound that upbeat, and I don't think there was any disingenuous about it. Like, I think that he looked at that and thought it was kind of cool. Look, the longest game in World Series history, as competitive as it was. You know, things didn't work out their way. That was a brutal play by Kinsler. You can't defend it. It was rushed. It was a mess. You could even maybe make a case that they should have walked Puig to go to Austin Barnes. A lot to second guess with that particular play. But Cora, positive about it. It's not like they're down in the series. They still lead the damn thing. Got a couple more in L.A. I still think the gentleman's sweep is on the table. And for another reason, too, because this was brought to my attention, I just retweeted it. You can find it for yourself on Instagram as well. These stupid teams just cannot help themselves when it comes to pettiness on social media or just nonsense like you had with Aaron Judge in the ALDS doing the old say anything and John Cusack walking through Fenway Park blaring New York, New York. Sports karma is a real thing. Don't poke the bear, people. Don't do it. So the Yankees do it in the ALDS. Bregman does it in the ALCS by posting that stupid Instagram story. And then, you know, rightfully so, you have David Price after his performance in Game 5 in the dugout saying, yeah, post that. And Evaldi goes out, and he's nails on that game, too. So he has to eat his words there with the stupid movie he puts up there of Evaldi getting his face ripped off to the tune of back-to-back-to-back home runs when he was with the Rays. Dodgers, if you didn't see this last night on their Instagram page, they have Muncy's home run off of Evaldi. With the tagline "Dodgers, damage done." What's the theme for the Red Sox?
This do damage.
Oh, you're poking the bear too, you idiots! Don't do stuff like this. They just kind of come back and bite you in the ass. So that's something else to feel positive about. If you spent or all your night / morning watching that marathon game and you're still rightfully angry about it, feel good about this. Core is still positive about it. He knows these guys want to still run through a brick wall for him, and these dumb teams can't help themselves when it comes to pettiness on social media.
You're right, but you know what's interesting? That one to me is the worst of them all because players get caught up in the emotion of the game. That's like somebody who does the social media for the Dodgers and should know better.
Right. Some 20-year-old, and I hate this term more than just about anything, influencer. I'm an influencer. You don't have a real job. Oh, God. I'm an influencer. I work for the Dodgers. Damage was done. All right, to you. Let's go to Cam and Taunton. You're next here on last night's loss. Hello, Cam.
Oh, God. What a just memorable, memorable night that was. Just, you know, staying up until 4:15 in the morning, all for naught. Did you guys make the whole game, by the way, like I did?
Yeah. Yes, made it through the whole game. Watched a little post game. That was a huge mistake to watch the post game.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to stay up and watch Maz and Perry. That was just not worth it. Anyway, you know, Betts is getting bashed, saying rightfully so. But to me, one of the guys who's getting overlooked today in terms of one singular moment was Bogaerts at bat in the inning. They took the lead. They take the lead on the throwing error, and then Leon doubles. So Nunez is on second, third. Then they intentionally walk Betts. Bogaerts goes up there and stares at strike one right down the middle. And then on the second pitch, he swings at a horrible pitch, taps it 2 feet in front of the plate, and it's picked up at a force out at home. And you had a perfect chance for insurance when all you had to do was get the ball through the infield. That's an at-bat that's not going to be talked about enough because of Kinsler and Evaldi's performance and all the nonsense. But that was pathetic by Bogaerts.
Oh, Cam, between him and Betts, I mean, this is where my anger is pointed to. That top of that lineup and the lack of production there is inexcusable. It really is.
Certainly that killed them. There's no question about it. You group those two guys together, but again, you know, this is what we do. We dissect a loss. So on the one hand, and I'm not defending Bogaerts, but on the one hand, I have you saying, how could Mookie swing at the first pitch? And then I have Cam coming on saying, how could Xander Bogaerts let that first pitch go right down the middle? You know, I mean, that's what happens in a loss. The reality is it's a pretty simple 4-3, you know, put out. And if it's made, then they win the game. And that to me, so we can second guess all the other stuff and it's fun. That's what we do on the sports radio station. It's a ground ball to second base that has to be turned into an out. And if it's not turned into an out, it can't be turned into a throwaway that allows the tying run to score.
So I mentioned too, you know, the other thing that you can second guess with the Kinsler screw up in the 13th is should they have actually pitched to Yasiel Puig? Joe and Charlton on this very thing. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Murray, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, yeah, that's my big beef in this game. I was going out of my mind when I saw that. I was, you know, had everything I could do not to throw it in my mouth when I saw that. Why do you pitch to that guy? Walk him, get to the catcher who can't hit the ball out of the infield. Batting 200, they had no catcher to back him up. Cora, you know, I was ticked off at that decision. Kinsler's errors, obviously, you know, you've touched on that, but I don't understand why you pitched to that guy. You raised it early. You stole my point, but that's the point I want to make. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Joe. So, yeah, what's the explanation for pitching to Puig rather than Austin Barnes, who was on deck?
Yeah, I mean, maybe at that point they just feel like Puig maybe is more likely to chase, you know, at that particular point, and you want to do that and go there. Maybe there's some concern you know, at that point in the game, refresh my memory now, Muncy was the only guy on base, right? So
yes.
Muncy's the tying
run.
So in a situation where the Dodgers have the last at bat, obviously, do you want to put the winning run on base? And Puig can run.
Right.
And my sense would be, as I think about the situation, I'm just doing it in real time, is that Cora was probably thinking, Puig can run. I don't want to put the winning run on base with a guy that can run and score, and it's a situation where, you know, we allow them to do it. And Puig's a guy that maybe can chase a little bit. But that being said, I mean, I was still a little surprised because it seemed to me initially, and even Joe Buck said, oh, they're going to intentionally walk Puig. And there was some signal from Cora. He was, you know, basically putting his index finger in the air and going around and around. And I thought that meant, oh, just send the guy to the base. But it was like, no, keep going and pitch to him. A little surprising.
Drew in New Hampshire on Ian Kinsler. You're next here on the Sports Hub. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Gasper Murray, big fan.
Thanks.
Great show. Two quick points. So Kinsler last night goes in, and I swear I cringe every single time I see him in the lineup. His defense and offense has been rough. Strikeout king. But my biggest concern, so obviously the area, he hucks it. He takes a couple seconds, maybe he makes it. But you got Vasquez on first, who is not a true first baseman. If you're going to throw it like that and you're not 100% sure, if Puig is paying attention, he goes to second, and all of a sudden you got the winning run on second.
Yeah.
And then when he pinch runs for Martinez, almost gets thrown out by an inch.
Oh, he was out, by the way. They should have overturned. He was out.
God.
He was out.
Yeah, it's like you're pinch running, man. You got to pay attention.
Yeah.
And then
go ahead.
He tries to be aggressive, goes to third, almost gets thrown out there by overthrowing.
And then
and
they,
what do you think
they,
about,
they show it in slow motion. They show it in slow motion too when he almost gets when he goes over on third base and you
he
see him mouth like,
bag.
Whoa, like he realized that he had a massive screw up there.
Yeah, and then when he tries to go home, he doesn't even try to slide down, try and
right.
go underneath the catcher. I mean, great throw, granted, but still. And then what do you guys think about Eduardo Rodriguez starting tonight? I mean, he was pretty good in the regular season. He only pitched one batter last night. I don't really want to trust Pomeranz after not playing for a while. What do you think about Rodriguez going?
I think that's what they have to go with, and we'll have some coming up from Alex Cora after the game. He said it's going to be a lefty, so who is it? It's Pomeranz or Rodriguez. It has to be
Unless
Rodriguez.
Unless it's Sale on 3 days rest, which I don't think it would be.
No, they can't do it.
Yeah, I agree. And so here's what I would say. You know, today, and this is, I know you're talking about the gentleman sweep. I feel like, and I'm not conceding the game, but from a strategy standpoint, this is one where you have to take the L to me and start Rodriguez. Hopefully, you know, you can muck up the game and somehow you find a way to win it. But you do that, and then for 5-6-7, now you have it set up, rested Sale, rested Price, and Eovaldi, because Eovaldi's the guy I would want in game 7. So I think if you're Alex Cora, you got to do it that way. Try and find a way to win today, but you can't sacrifice other games to win today. Roll out Erod. And have the bullpen, do the bullpenning thing, and hope you can find a way to steal it.
That was another thing. There was so much that happened in that game. Price gets in the ninth and continues to smash the narrative that he's a playoff gag artist. You know, like, if there was any of you that were still outliers, like, I'm out. Joe Murray, out. That David Price is going to choke in the postseason. Doesn't happen anymore. No. And that ninth, I was like, no, of course he's going to be nails here. In fact, when it showed both him and Kimbrel warming up, I said, give me the guy on the left.
Oh, wow.
That's what it's become, because I now trust David Price in the postseason. Yeah, so he even gets into that game last night, too. Ridiculous. And I see full phone lines. As soon as someone drops off, you can get on with us at 617-779-0985. Who starts tonight? Who's to blame last night? Don't let Mookie Betts off the hook. Him and Bogarts, they were putrid in that game. You want to be mad at Kinsler? Do that. Why do they keep wearing those stupid colored uniforms on Friday nights? We're the real ones. A lot to be mad about. 617-779-0985. Hey, we welcome in Sarge to give us the Sports Hub headlines, and then right to you here on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We'll decide. Somebody will start. Most likely a lefty. How you spell that? TBA or?
Yeah.
TBA.
Well, so that's your game 4 starter. TBA. Tom Bill Roberts.
Who?
No. To be announced, but he says a lefty, so it's going to be Eduardo Rodriguez. That Red Sox manager Alex Cora after last night's / this morning's 3-2 marathon loss to the Dodgers in Game 3 of the World Series. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports. Right to you and your calls, because there's a lot to dissect with this loss. Longest order of wait here, we'll go to Dave and Dedham. You're next here on Gasper Murray. Hi, Dave.
Hey,
How's it going, guys? I just want to make a quick Kinsler point, a quick Celtics bitch, if I could.
Sure.
But first, I just want to say you guys are seriously the best show on the radio, either station, the production, everything. I'm a sports junkie. I love this show. I wish it was sports full-time.
Oh, well, thanks, Dave.
And the Kinsler point, I think not only did he blow game three, but he wasted Eovaldi.
Yeah.
I think he blew game four. And a quick Celtics point, look at how Jason Tatum spent his offseason, and look at how Jaylen Brown spent his offseason learning guitar, fasting, reading poetry. Tatum was in the gym hanging out with Kobe, hanging out with Durant, Embiid, and you see the results on the court. And I think you're really starting to see the separation of the two players. And I don't think it's Jaylen and Jason anymore. I think it's just Tatum, and Jaylen is going to be a role player. And also, I want to say, Sarge, thank you for your service.
Oh, thanks for the call, dude. We appreciate
thanks, buddy.
It. We'll go to the Kinsler thing just real quick on that Celtics point.
Yeah.
Brown was working out with someone, too. Who was the ex-pro that he was working out with? Obviously, it's more notable for Tatum because he's in the gym with Kobe. I wanted to say it was maybe T-Mac? I don't know.
I don't remember off the top of my head. You know, it's an interesting point, though, and I wonder how it plays with the Celtics. I'm never against a guy trying to expand his horizons. You know, I don't want to penalize a guy for that. But when you look at it and how they spent their off seasons and who seems to have, you know, gotten the most out of their off season, at least so far, you definitely have to say Tatum. I mean, that's sort of an interesting point. And I wonder if the Celtics, that was sort of the knock on Jaylen Brown. And it frustrates me because, again, I don't think these guys are human beings. I don't think they have to be one dimensional. I think you can do that stuff and still get better at your game. But there is a question with Jaylen Brown as to, you know, did he how much has he improved from last season to this year? It's early, but it doesn't look like he really has taken the type of leap that you would like.
And on Kinsler, look, I mean, he should have just ate the play. Like, eat, you know, don't throw it.
Honestly,
like,
you know what he should have done? I mean, and it's easy to say. The second guess, it's easy for us sitting in the studio. But all he needed to do was look up. If you watch that play and you watch the replay, you know, he stumbles and he lost his footing. He never looks up. He has no idea where Puig is. And if he had just looked up and seen where Puig was, I think he would have taken a crow hop, set himself, thrown it to first, and the game would have been over. They'd be up 3-0.
Mike in Rhode Island, your thoughts on last night's loss. Go ahead.
I think Cora single-handedly changed the outlook of this series or the landscape of this series by putting in Eovaldi. You know what I mean? He's your game four starter. What in the hell is he thinking? Okay? He's down 1-0. Okay? And Dodgers pitcher is cruising. Okay? Why do you bring in Eovaldi? I mean, what's your game plan for game four? Now you got to, who are you going to bring in? Pomegranate? Rodriguez?
Yeah.
And he's flying by the seat of his pants.
Yeah, Mike, it feels like it's going to be Eduardo Rodriguez to get the start tonight. Yeah. So do you feel like it's wasted that ridiculous performance from Eovaldi last night? That was insane.
Yeah, I mean, Cora went all in. You know, he made the decision to bring Eovaldi into that game. He went all in to go up 3-0. I think they felt like, you know, that was the series if they could get it, and it didn't go their way. I mean, again, Eovaldi's in the game, and my only second guess of Cora on the Eovaldi thing was I thought that he went to him, you know, an inning earlier than he needed to. My thinking as I'm watching the game is I'll go to Eovaldi when we have the lead. Now, Eovaldi ended up pitching for them with the lead. He got the outs he needed to get. The play wasn't made. So, you know, that's what Cora decided to do. I think what I would do if I were Cora is don't compound the tough situation you put your team in by, say, starting Chris Sale today on 3 days rest. You know, I wouldn't do that. I think today you got to say, look, can we put it together? Can we piece it together with Eduardo Rodriguez and Drew Pomerantz and the guys in the bullpen that should be available? You know, Kelly, Brazier, Barnes, those guys pitched an inning, so they should still be available. Can we do it that way? And then we set it up for the rest of the series, whatever it is. If we're up 3-1, we're in the driver's seat. If it's 2-2, at least it's 2-2. It's best of three, and we go Sale, Price, Eovaldi, and they're all good to go. And we have Porcello available as the rover. That's what I would do. I think that gives you the best chance to win. So I would go with Erod today and just roll the dice and hope, you know, things break your way and you can steal it today.
Yeah, considering how Sale has looked
him on short rest today is no. That would be, I think, an absolutely terrible idea. I think Rodriguez is the play. Basically, what Alex Cora has to do is treat game four tonight like how I treat an apartment right before I move. It's just, a lot of spackle and cheap paint. He's just trying to make it look as good as possible so you can get that deposit back. Ah, see, no, everything's fine. Ah, nothing to see here. What's that hole? Ah, patch it all up and we'll get out of here and I get that money back. This is what he's going to have to do tonight. A lot of work for Alex Cora tonight because basically everyone was used last night save for Chris Sale and Drew Pomerantz. So I don't expect much out of Rodriguez tonight. If we get four and a third, I'll be happy there. Let's go to Michael, who was at the game, originally from Brookline, but out in L.A. for Game 3 last night. Did you stay for the whole thing, Michael?
Absolutely, every minute. First of all, I am still from Brookline. I just came out here for the games.
Ah, gotcha.
I'm the one who told you that you were going to love the Eagles concert.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember talking to you, and I did. It was great.
I know. There were two things. First of all, on the Kinsler play, he definitely had – I'm right behind the Red Sox dugout in the third level, so I was like right on line with the whole play. All he had to do was stop, set himself, make a throw.
Yeah.
He had oodles of time.
He just didn't know it.
And he never should have been in a position to make the play because the whole time I'm after Nunez fell into the seats, I'm saying, okay, walk Puig, Austin Barnes, 091, hasn't had two hits in 2 months. You don't pitch to Puig. Now, Puig, all he did basically was hit a hard ground ball, which Barnes could have done. Okay, but you don't put yourself in that position. I understand he's the lead run, but you had a base open. Okay, Puig can hit. You don't face a hitter when you got somebody on deck who can't hit.
Yeah, I mean it's a legitimate argument either way. I see why Cora did what he did, and the reality is they got what they needed. They got a ground ball. They got an out. The play wasn't made, so I can't put it on the manager. And let's say this happens, right? So Austin Barnes, is not the greatest hitter in the world. We all know that. But let's say you walk Puig, right? And Eovaldi throws a wild pitch or there's a pass ball. So now what happens? So now you have the go-ahead run is in scoring position and Barnes dumps some BS flare into center field. How many calls would we be getting today about, well, why did you put the go-ahead run on? I can't kill the guy for that. I can't. The play, sometimes it's up to the players. The play wasn't made. The play wasn't made. Now, I understand the second guess. Part of it would be easier play if Barnes hits that same ball. Easier play for Kinsler. He can just go to second base there. But I understand what Cora was thinking. I don't have a huge problem with it. And ultimately, they got the result they needed in terms of the pitcher-batter matchup, and the play wasn't made in the field when it should have been made.
So a day like this, Chris, I don't think it's about us. I think it's about the people.
It is about the people.
So I think the people need us to be their de facto therapist today. So we're going to forego the five questions for Chris Gansford.
Let's do it.
Nothing to do with sports. We're going to run through more of your phone calls. We bitch about last night / this morning. Marathon loss to the Dodgers. Again, 7 hours and 20 minutes. You could, fly to France in that time, I feel like. Not that I know.
You could definitely fly to Italy.
Hey, let's go to Italy, everybody. Hey, instead of watching this marathon game, it's soul-crushing.
You could be like Brady on the, Amalfi Coast.
All right. Oh, I would love to see that.
Bacon your backside.
We could crush a whole bottle of wine in the second game there.
Yeah.
Whole bottle of wine.
Sarge, I could do that.
Maybe 2 innings.
I can do that in 10
2 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
All right, fine.
2 innings.
Fair enough.
We have one open phone line. You want to join us? 617-779-0985. 2 year calls right after this. Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Honestly, I felt pretty privileged to be able to watch what Nathan Eovaldi just did. That was, he threw out the bullpen 2 days in a row and then came out there and threw 100 pitches tonight and held them to that final run right there. That was the most incredible pitching performance I've ever seen and came up short. You can hang your hat on that. They played a great game too. Both teams battled for 7 hours. I mean, it was an unbelievable ball game. After the game was over, I started crying because he's grunting every pitch. He literally gave everything he had on every single pitch, and it was special. It was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, that's the epitome of reaching down deep, and I don't know. I'm really proud of him. I'm proud of the way our guys battled tonight. Came up one run short. So be it. I'll be back tomorrow.
As we wrap here again, Rick Porcello, last night's starter. Well, you could maybe even make a case came out too early, but then again, I wouldn't blame Alex Cora. not wanting to have him go through the lineup for the third straight time. He was getting hit hard there. That Peterson home run was crushed. But crying about Eovaldi? Okay, the performance of Nathan Eovaldi in that game last night was excellent. But you're going to cry? Dude, like, whew, dial it back. There's some things you don't want to say out in public. All right, to you, before we wrap up here, Nolan Providence, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Hi, guys. So before I ask my question, I agree Alex Cullen made the good decision. He made the best decision he could probably make. I think Ian Kinsler is the reason why we lost that game. He was brought in to field that ball. He was brought in to be that veteran position player, and he failed to do that. Now, my question is, in a scenario, who would you rather have on the mound and then your backup in the bullpen? Would you rather have Drew Pomeranz and E-Rod in the bullpen, or would you rather have E-Rod on the mound and Pomeranz as your backup? Let me know what you think.
The worst wow. of the Sophie's choices.
I know. Yikes.
You.
I'm going to go with E-Rod starting the game just because I think there's a chance he could give you four or five good innings. I think there's a chance of that. You know, Pomeranz hasn't pitched in a long, long time. But there is something to the idea of using Pomeranz maybe as like an opener, get him through an inning or two, and then, you know, bring E-Rod in and see if he can give you four, five innings, and that would really help your bullpen. There is something to the idea of trying to just steal an inning or two from Pomeranz as an opener.
More on Ian Kinsler from Chris in Cranston. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I just wanted to call about the play at the plate. I felt like when instead of the catcher caught it in front of the plate, and instead of trying to get behind the plate and sneak in with a hand, he just ran right into the catcher.
You're talking about Kinsler, you want a better slide there.
Instead of trying to get behind the play, he ran right into it.
Yeah, I think the throw was a very good throw. And the throw actually, you know, it wasn't online, but it actually was perfect that it wasn't online because it sort of sent, the catcher towards Kinsler there. Maybe he could have had a better slide, but I just thought the way the whole play unfolded, the throw ended up working out really well for the Dodgers.
It wasn't a good night for Ian Kinsler. Again, almost gets picked off at first. Overran almost gets tagged out at third. He gets thrown out at home when they could have taken the lead. And now the disaster that happened in the 13th inning as well. Not a good night for Ian Kinsler. I can understand that the anger is pointed towards him today, and that's why they lost that game. A lot of people upset about the umpiring as well, like Joanne in Virginia. Go ahead, Joanne.
Hey, I looked at a lot of the calls, and it seemed like umpire had a really wide strike zone for the Dodgers. But when, like, Raffy Devers was there, what looked to me like a ball, he called a strike. And it's like, wait a minute, because it's a Red Sox now that ball is way out of, you know. But he was doing it all night. And it's the first time in the World Series I've had a complaint about the umpires.
Chris, any thoughts on this?
I thought there
were some inconsistencies.
I thought Ted Barrett, I thought that he was more inclined to call the high strike than the low strike. I thought there were a lot of pitchers that were lower in the zone that were strikes he wasn't calling. But I thought it was both sides. Remember the pitch that Pedro Baez like really wanted and like crouched down? And
yes,
like,
yeah. That was on the bottom of
yeah,
the plate.
Yeah, anything sort of in the or bottom the of the zone. Rather. You know, inside or outside, it just seemed like the bottom of the zone, he was not going to call it. And stuff at the top of the zone, he was calling. So, Mike from Woburn
was
apoplectic last night, just his Twitter feed about the umpiring. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was consistent with the home plate in terms of, look, both sides didn't get pitches that I thought were strikes. I can't remember who was up. There was one Red Sox guy who was up, and you looked at the MLB game day, and like the first pitch was literally
right
way
down the pipe.
Outside.
Yeah.
There was one that was like way out. No, I'm talking, there was one that was like, it was called a strike. It might have been on Devers, but it was like way outside, and he called it a strike, and it was like, okay, that's not a strike.
No, it wasn't great. It was inconsistent, but if I'm being completely honest, I had a bigger issue with the ump in game two, which they won. I thought David Price got hosed, especially inside to righties. Like, there were some borderline calls that he wasn't getting, or not even borderline. There were some that were blatant, like right in the strike zone, that they were calling balls. I thought they were way tighter in game two. But last night, not great either. All right, you guys are still lined up here, and we got to go because we've done our 3 hours, and now we get to enjoy our weekend, as soggy and wet and miserable as it might be. But I do still think that the Red Sox are going to pull this off. And another reason to pull for them, not that you wouldn't be already, this just was brought to our attention when Sarge came in. Johnny Miller, the longtime reporter who you've heard, he's usually getting the first questions. Alex Cora also always defers to him in the post game and the pre. Apparently on his way out to Los Angeles, again, Johnny Miller, WBZ Radio, suffered a stroke at the Denver airport. Is that what it is, Sarge?
Yeah, it's a connecting flight out there, and he is still in Denver, but apparently he's going to be okay. That's good news. Yeah,
that's excellent.
All right. So obviously pulling for Johnny Miller, one of the greats here in this industry, and has been for years and years and years, and a massive Red Sox fan.
Oh yeah.
So someone else to keep in your thoughts along with the Red Sox for tonight's game four. Again, we still don't know who it's going to be starting tonight. Looks like Eduardo Rodriguez. Joe Murray has you next, though. If you want to continue to bitch about last night's game, talk about tonight's game four. He, along with Sarge, coming up next here. I want to thank Tucker Silver for producing the show. Joe Murray and Sarge on the Hub Headlines. And you, Chris, enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'll see you next time.
You too, Jim.
All right. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Mazza, too. Goodbye.